Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. Amen. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin. Show us your salvation. In the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen.
The first reading comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6, beginning with the first verse, a reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring fountains of the foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now that King Balak of Moab devised with Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Here ends the reading. Word of God, word of life.
Who may abide upon your holy hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart. Lord,
who may abide upon your holy
They do not slander with the tongue, they do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
Lord, who may abide upon your holy hill?
The second second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with the 18th verse, a reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you, when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O God. You ready? Lights, camera, action! What's going on? You know who says that? Who says that? Doesn't a TV or a movie producer say that when they're ready to film? Have you guys ever heard that? That maybe that's old-fashioned. I don't know. Maybe that's back in the old days. Lights, camera, action. Yeah. In some ways, Jesus does that today with his Beatitudes and his Sermon on the Mount. I would invite you guys, all of you guys, to read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, in its entirety. We might have the Sermon on the Plain too. So we have two sermons from Jesus, but they're world-changing, they're life-changing. And what he does is, with his values that he reveals in this Beatitudes, blessed of those who are blessed, he puts a light on his kingdom. See, Jesus brings a different kingdom. He brings the kingdom of God into our midst. And it's a different kingdom than the world. The kingdom of the world can sometimes be oppressive. And it can sometimes hurt and cause suffering. But Jesus brings a kingdom of life and light. So he puts a light on that. And then what he does is he uses, kind of like using a camera. When you look through a camera, you look through a lens, right? Even a phone today with a camera has a lens on it. And when you look through that lens, you see things differently. So Jesus, when we think about camera, he puts a lens on the world to show us the truth of the world. And again, sometimes that world is broken and hurtful. And then action. He calls you and me. He calls all the baptized. He calls us to action on his behalf to reveal his kingdom to the world. And how do we do that? How can we reveal God's kingdom to the world? Come here, Silas. Come here. I'm gonna just give me a hug. We're buds, aren't we? Just give me a quick hug. Come here, Elena. Somebody give me a hug, please. <All right. laughs> Thanks for your hesitation, buddy. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Give somebody a hug. Give them a smile. Help them out. When you do those things, you reveal the kingdom of God. Because those things bring love and life and light. It's not so hard. It's really not. Just share love. That's all we got to do. When you share love, you share Jesus. Lights, camera, what? Action. Say it with me. Lights, camera, action. Do it again. Lights, camera, action. All right. Well, let's pray. You can repeat after me. Jesus, you are our light. Shine on us that we may shine for you in this world, sharing your love, your joy, your peace. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his classic book, The Cost of Discipleship, writes, "Having reached the end of the Beatitudes, we naturally ask if there is any place on this earth for the community which they describe." Bonhoeffer understood rightly that what Jesus does and is doing, is still doing today, with the Beatitudes and his Sermon on the Mount, is envisioning or bringing to light the new community. It is not the community of any candidate or any dictator or even of any democracy, but it is the new community, the community of the King of all creation. Bonhoeffer goes on to say, clearly there is one place and only one, and that is where the poorest, meekest, and most sorely tried of all men is to be found, on the cross of Golgotha. Speak the name. What is that name? It is Jesus. Bonhoeffer again understands rightly that Jesus did not simply come among us to spew rules and regulations and to lay out values and parameters of this kingdom life that are to be followed by his subjects. But he came as the one who would give, who would live them out to their fullest as he makes his way to and onto the cross at Golgotha. Again, speak the name. His name is Jesus. It is that place where Jesus forsakes the world, its corruption and its death-dealing powers, to reveal his kingdom light and life. Bonhoeffer continues, the community which is the subject of the Beatitudes is the community of the crucified. With him, it has lost all, and with him, it has found all. The community of the crucified. Again, Bonhoeffer understands rightly that the community being envisioned and enacted by Jesus is a community of those who have been crucified with Jesus so that no longer so that no longer their own, they live to the glory of the supreme leader, God, the King of all creation. The Apostle Paul understood this mystery as well, as he writes in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what? Into his death," Paul writes, or into his what? His crucifixion. "Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of what? Of life." The community of the crucified. I'm not sure how many of you would sign up for that. Maybe that's why we baptize infants most of the time. Again, just let me say this quote from Bonhoeffer together, simply because it's so powerful. "Having reached the end of the Beatitudes, we naturally ask if there is any place on this earth for the community which they describe. Clearly, there is one place and only one, and that is where the poorest, meekest, and most sorely tried of all men is to be found, on the cross at Golgotha. The community which is the subject of the Beatitudes is the community of the crucified. With him it has lost all, and with him it has found all." Jesus teaches in these Beatitudes that those who are blessed in the kingdom that Jesus is ushering in are not the people the world thinks of as blessed. These are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for God's justice and a world shaped by sacrificial love. Those blessed are those who show mercy and who are pure of heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted for seeking God's justice and for standing against the injustice of this world that allows some to run over others. And those who are reviled and falsely accused for doing good. Why are these blessed? God is with them. I don't think this is an exclusive list, but it's a starting place for the values of the kingdom. God is with those who suffer in this world, and it's God's promise. It's God's commitment. And also, they know their need for God. Simply put, they are striving for, longing for, and acting for a kingdom that can only become reality by taking up the cross of sacrificial love. And it can only be found, speak the name, in Jesus. "Let anyone who wants to become my disciple," Jesus says, "take up his cross and follow me." It is a striving and longing for and acting out of something beyond this world. This is the kind of otherworldly community that we seek and strive to build here at Emmanuel as we build community in the name and likeness of Jesus Christ. Yet I wonder, have we become cynical? Have we experienced community fail us so many times that we can no longer hope? It's easy to say that we see little of this kind of love, this sacrificial love in the world. Certainly in politics, something that we see these days, whether we like it or not, with campaigns raging and the impeachment debate, it all seems to be tearing at the very fabric of anything that resembles community. The only meaning of lights, camera, action, it seems, as people trying to get the spotlight, trying to win. In marriage and in family, in those relationships that are meant to nurture and provide security, comfort, love, a safe place to be who God created us to be. There's a breakdown of family values. Families and marriages are stressed and often fall far short of sacrificial love. In fact, they can, as if not more, be as if not more competitive than politics. And dare we mention the church. Sadly, I've seen congregational members rip brothers and sisters to shreds to win an argument or a debate, to be right at any cost. I've seen the tragedy of those called to be united in Christ divided by the world. Have we become cynical? And I see the hungry fed. And I see those in need of help, whether it's financial, with regards to rent or gas money or utilities, helped. I see the lonely comforted. I see the confined transported. I see the shut in and the shut out visited and welcomed with open arms. I see those who do not grieve enter into the grief of others to help them bear the load. I see people of privilege humble themselves, lending a hand to those who are not so privileged. I see marriages and families healed by forgiveness. I see individuals in marriages sacrifice caring more for their spouse than they do for themselves. I see siblings sacrifice, get along, forgive when parents die. Dear friends, there are successes and failures all around us. We all are sinner and saint. The way Jesus teaches is the way of forgiveness and sacrifice, love and reconciliation. Just this Friday, I was at the Y, and I was on a bike in the back of the cardio room so I could see the whole room. Two Waldorf students had just come in and gotten on the incumbent bikes in front of me. A minute or two later, an elderly woman came into the room. I could see she wanted one of those bikes. She moved slowly toward the students. I couldn't hear what she said. I don't think she threatened either one of them. But immediately, one of those students got off their bike and offered it to the woman. And she went to the treadmill. She could have easily told the woman to take a hike or to wait her turn. But instead, she made a sacrifice. It was a beautiful moment to witness. I told her on my way out, the college student, I said, I don't know who you are, but I saw what you did, and it was a beautiful thing. On this day of our annual meeting, it is good for us to think about what it means to build community in the name and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Because it will be a community of the cross, a community of the crucified. And it's good for us to remember that in Jesus' teaching, lights, camera, action is a call not to be a superstar, to get the spotlight on ourselves, but it is a call to be a super servant who shines the light of God. Hear these words of Paul from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals upon their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. One Sunday, as a mother and her daughter drove home from church, the little girl turned to her mother and said, Mommy, there's something about the preacher's message this morning that I don't understand. The mother said, Oh, what is that? The little girl replied, Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the whole world in his hand. Is that true? The mother replied, Yes, that's true, honey. But Mommy, he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true too? Again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor had said was true. With a puzzled look on her face, the little girl then asked, If God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through? Dear friends, let the light of Jesus shine through you. May it shine through us as a crucified community, called to be the body of Jesus in this world.
Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of those in need. I will end each petition with, Hear us, O God. And the invited response is, Your mercy is great. God of liberation, you set your people free to serve others. Embolden your church that we may seek justice for the oppressed. Share generously your loving kindness and live humbly together. Unite us as one people under the cross. Hear us, O God. God of the universe, your care is evident everywhere, from the foundations of the earth to the top of the tallest mountains. Reconcile all of creation to itself and lead us to repair the environmental destruction caused by our own carelessness and greed. Hear us, O God. God of the nations, you desire peace and justice among all people. Deliver us from systems of fear that seek to divide us. Guide our local and national leaders. Help us to seek unity in our divided nation. Hear us, O God. God of the oppressed, you raise up the lowly and comfort those in despair. We lift up to you all who are victims of exploitation, discrimination, and greed. We pray for those who are suffering in any way, with illness, personal or financial struggle and struggling with loss. Today, we lift up to you, dear God, Amis, the family of Janice Olson Taylor, and we continue with those listed in our bulletin. Heather, Joanne, the family of Karen, Melissa, Gayjean, Ron, the family of Bonnie, Ashley, Tim, Scott, missionary Karen, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magallanes. Hear us, O God. God of love, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to earth in the form of a baby, whose presentation in the temple we celebrate today. Fill our own house of worship with your presence, that all who may enter will encounter Christ. Hear us, O God. Dear Lord, we pray for your guidance and presence at our annual congregational meeting today. Give us respectful tongues and a sense of real community as we talk about how Emmanuel serves you. Hear us, O God. Father, Iowa needs your embrace as we caucus for presidential candidates tomorrow. Heal divisions and inspire us to preserve unity. Hear us, O God. Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your saving grace revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with
you. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Christ, the wisdom and power of God, and the source of our life together, keep you united in mind and in purpose. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen.
Go in peace. Speak the name of Jesus and show mercy.
Thanks be.